Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Elohim, your host speaking. This is Sunday. Okay, I was just waiting for everything to come together for me. So, this is one of the
There comes a time in every man's life when he has that life-changing experience. That life-changing experience for me came when I found Jesus and made him my personal savior. I'd like to thank all the steadfast preachers and friends who prayed for me along the way. You need Jesus more than you know, and I'm here to tell you so.
Jesus is the love of my life. He did just save me once or twice.
The devil's ringing. He offered him a piece of bread. He got the back and bread. The devil asked him, are you the son of God? Throw yourself down off that rock. You won't let that off. If you think the road is easy, try it for yourself. Without the help of Jesus, you won't get the same result.
Jesus is the love of my life.
Just save me once but twice.
The first time I was up on the cross.
The second time I was lost. He knew the Romans were coming after he caught that cross. He didn't mind them coming. He was ready to walk that walk. They gave him a crown of thorns and threw him up on the cross. He came back in 3 days to save. If you think the road is easy, try it for yourself. Without the help of Jesus, you won't get the same result.
Jesus is the love of my life.
He did just save me once but twice.
Brother Elohim, we're going to be going through a series, this series of lectures that we're going to be doing from today forward will be mostly centered around the Bible, but we're going to start off pre-Bible. We're going to go pre-Bible, and we're going to work our way through, I'm saying the first five books of Moses, and then we're going to work our way through and go all the way through the whole thing, okay? Well, right now, the whole thing is that when you're going to read the Bible, you got to read it with a different thought process, because we're all over the place out there, and it don't make no sense. Now, I'm going to talk to you before the show's over to tell you how to get a DNA awakening by reading the Bible, and that way you don't have to go through so many different types of understanding what's going on, because you can literally read the Bible and have Yahshua directly explain what's going on. Yes, that's possible. You can communicate with Yahshua. You can communicate with the ancestors. You can communicate whatever you want. Once you get yourself in the right thought process, that's what's going on, okay? So we're going to start. We're going to go pre-Bible right now. First of all, I didn't send the text out to let everybody know that I'm on the air. I'm just on the air right now. So we're just going to start, okay? Now, first of all, everybody talk about spirit and soul. Well, they didn't give a different definition of spirit. They give a different soul. They got all kinds of different explanations out there, and everybody's confused. They don't know what's going on. But you are an incorporeal entity, okay, functioning in a flesh body, okay? There's no separating the two because you and the flesh are actually one entity because you're all made out of energy. One energy is incorporeal. One energy is corporeal. But it's still the same source energy, all right? That needs to be explained because, boy, are we confused out there. They done twist things around, change things up so much. We don't even know what's up and what's down, okay? So that's what we're going to get into today, all right? Now, there is an incorporeal dimension. Now, we're going to start this whole thing on pre-Bible, all right? And then we're going to work out into the Bible where it says God created the heavens and the earth. We're going to go all the way up to that point, okay? Now, I'm not talking to you as men and women. This is not a lecture for men and women, okay? Because men and women, it's not a lecture for men and women, nor is it a lecture for believers, okay? This is a lecture for knowers. Actually, the first followers of Yahshua, they call themselves Gnostics, which means knowers of truth. And once you can believe anything out there, it don't have to be true. You got all kinds of crazy stuff going on out there that people believe because they're idle, because we're doing idolatry now and don't even know it, because their idols say so. You follow what I'm saying? But you need some direct contact with the people that have written these books. And you can contact them directly, and I'll show you how to do that between now and the time that the end of this lecture is over, okay? So now your incorporeal entities, that's what you are, all right? Now there's a dimension. There is an incorporeal dimension, all right? That's the dimension that we come from. Now in that dimension, we consume energy. This energy is called consciousness. Energy, and it's called the Christ conscious energy. That's what it's called, okay? And that energy that we consume, right, some call it prana. We call it prana because we're calling it food, but it's conscious energy that we consume. All energy, I got to make this plain, all energy in the universe is conscious, okay? All energy is conscious. Because we're going to get into where the energy actually comes from in the first place, all right? Now, we're incorporeal entities. I started off there, but since I made the last statement, let's go back to the uncaused cause for a minute, all right? Because we're going to take this right from the start of where everything began, all right? There is something which we call the uncaused cause. No sense racking your brain, because there has to come a point when nothing caused something to exist. It was here, okay? That's kind of interesting. We call it the uncaused cause. We're calling it source energy because this uncaused cause is the source of everything that exists today, okay? I don't know about tomorrow, but everything that exists today is a direct result of the uncaused energy. Any scientist that's worth his weight in salt will tell you that energy cannot be created or destroyed. You can't make energy and you can't destroy energy, right? Because energy is what the universe is. And if you learn how to destroy energy, then you're gonna learn. Then you know how to destroy the universe, and that knowledge is not permitted, as far as I know. Okay, since I know who we are, not telling where we can go as far as information and what we can have. Okay, now this energy, as far as I know, this energy went into motion. Once this energy went into motion, now I'm not talking about no big bang. That's not what's up, because all energy is conscious and all energy knows exactly what it's doing. When this energy went into motion, all right, this energy began making things. Hello? It began making things out of its own energy. Okay? So everything that's made in the universe is made out of source energy, right? There's a conscious design. I'm going to say this to all those who go into the Darwinian thought process. It's a conscious, the universe was consciously designed, okay, to do exactly what it's doing, right? Now, in this dimension, as this dimension was empty at one time, right? Incorporeal life forms in the next dimension, that these dimensions are connected by the black hole around Cyrus A, Cyrus B. There's other connections too, but we're just going to deal with that one because that's the one that y'all most familiar with. This is a big dimension. So it's connected. And when incorporeal energy consumes conscious energy or Christ consciousness. Okay, I got to say it twice because they got everything so screwed up out there. We don't know what's what. When this incorporeal energy consumes this energy, okay, it gives off a corporeal energy. And the corporeal energy can't exist in an incorporeal dimension. So the corporeal energy in the form of gas goes through the black hole into this dimension, all right? Now, this dimension we don't know how long, but for a long time. It took a long time to fill this dimension up with this corporeal gas. The incorporeal beings was worried that the gas would ignite and burn a hole in both dimensions. They was afraid of that. So incorporeal beings came through the black hole, right, into the corporeal dimension. And when it got into this dimension, the first thing they did was ignited some of the gas to see if it would actually do what they thought it would. So it might do, burn and just go through everything. They did that. It was a controlled experiment with the fire burning that gas. They did it three times. Thus, we have Cyrus A, Cyrus B, and Cyrus C. We had three suns, okay? Now, they had to stay over on this side to monitor. Some of them had to stay over here to monitor this gas to make sure that it kept doing what they thought it was doing. It didn't burn a hole in the hole, and didn't burn a hole all the way through. The gas didn't ignite all the way through because dark matter traveling kept the gas separate. Okay? We're talking subsidies now. So you can't get on the internet and check this out. You follow what I'm saying? Because they don't know that much about dark matter, and they don't know that much about subsidies. They know that dark matter is here. When you get into the subatomics, it gets a little tricky. Okay, now once they ignited those three suns, they made planets. All right, these incorporeal beings made planets. Now these incorporeal beings were actually shapeshifters. They can take on any shape that they want. That's how they was able to live in space without equipment. Without suits, okay? So they made planets that they could live on because they just could be out there floating around like that forever. So they made planets that they could live on, all right? And once they made a planet that they could live on, right, then they were able to begin to bring about the Milky Way galaxy. They begin to bring about this galaxy, okay? So they started off with other planets, other suns, the five main suns that they made and put planets around was the constellation Elohim, or it was called constellation Osiris. Now they call it constellation Orion's belt. The four suns in the belt and the one sun next to it that have planets around it. All five colors of people, this is where we come from. All five colors of people come from those five suns, okay? So now what happened is they decided as they were building and they came here, right? They were building suns, so they came here, and when they built this sun here, I'm skipping some of the information. I don't want to go too much into it. I only got an hour here. When they came here, right, now we get into, now I just took you pre-Bible, okay? We talk about the uncaused cause. We talk about everything is made up out of energy. The energy is conscious. This is what we call the Christ consciousness. It's energy. And this energy can be consumed by you to allow you to do things with this energy, okay? So every person, everything in the universe are extensions of this energy, okay? Everything. So when they talk about, source energy, what is source energy? Everything that you see is made up out of source energy. So there's nothing that you can see, feel, touch, or whatever that's not source energy. Okay, this is what Yahshua called the Father. It's what some people call Allah. It's supposed to be all in the breath of life. That's what it's supposed to be. But we're not going to get into that. There's all kinds of definitions for what brought everything into existence. All right? So this is what we're talking about. This is where we're going. What brought everything into existence? It's conscious energy, okay? Now, once we came into this dimension and we started making things out of source energy. See, source energy is here. It's like a tree is there. You can make something out of a tree or not, but we don't make seeds for the tree. Yeah, it comes from someplace else. I mean, we did make it, but we're not making seeds for the tree now. Well, that's another story. I don't want to get off track here. Because we're pre-Bible right now, okay? The Bible hasn't been, we're not into the Bible just yet, all right? Now, when we come to this particular portion of this dimension, we done made the planets around Cyrus Day, Orion's Bell, we done did so much. And we come into this area. Now we get into Bible. Psalm 82:6 says we are all gods. All right? Now, if we are all gods, that means everywhere in the Bible where it says men and women, not Most High, where it says men and women, they're talking about where they say God. Everywhere in the book that they say God, they're talking about men and women. Psalm 82:6 is the key to unlocking the Bible with the right thought process, okay? Now, if that being the case, that means at one time, men and women had the technology, all right, to make planets, all right, to make planets, to make suns. We had it like that. So what evidence to support that we even remotely could even think in that capacity? The moon is a satellite. Man, we got satellites up there now. Okay? There's a satellite up there too, a black satellite up there that they discovered, and we didn't make it, if I don't understand, but up there for quite a while. So what I'm saying is that we're coming back into the knowledge that we had when we made the planet. If we can make a satellite, it won't be long before we'll be figuring out how to literally construct planets, how to make suns. We're coming back into that information, back into that knowledge, okay? So now we're going into Bible now, right? When they said, let us make men and women in our image. We use the word create. I don't use the word create because we can't create anything. We make everything. We can't make something out of nothing, period. Any first-year scientist will tell you that. So when they said, let us make men and women in our image, they're talking about having sex, procreating. They were talking about making babies, all right? Now, they made these babies, okay, and they made all of the stuff on the planet for the children that they made and the children that was coming, all right? They were more than just these two beings making children. I'm just telling you this now, okay? So now, 1,000 years have passed, their children being on the planet, okay? Then they went into another type of science. They went into the cloning process, right? They made a man, okay, and they breathed the breath of life into this man, which means that they changed the man's frequency. The man went from corporeal to incorporeal. Why is Eve so special? Because Eve wasn't made, okay, in the corporeal realm. Eve was made in the incorporeal realm. That's why Eve was so special, okay. And so when they went to when God told them not to eat the apple, now you know that there was no physical evidence that God physically talked to them, all right, that told them not to eat of this and not to eat of that. You know where I'm coming from? So once, then we're talking about the snake. The snake represents shapeshifters, reptilian beings that were here at that particular time, that were here in the incorporeal dimension. These reptilian beings were here, okay? So they told them that if they ate of the apple, they would die, okay? They would surely die. Corporeal flesh decays, period. The minute they ate that apple, the minute they ate the fruit, I'm saying the apple, that's to the programming. The minute they ate the fruit from that particular tree, all right, their frequency changed. They went from incorporeal to corporeal. That's why they was able to witness certain things like their body parts and stuff, okay? And they start covering themselves, hey, man, we ain't supposed to be like this, you know? They start covering themselves up. Then we got physical evidence from the Bible that God, what they were calling God, this man, went from incorporeal to corporeal to talk to them again. They heard him walking, right? So he was walking towards them to talk to them because he didn't walk to talk to them before. He just communicated. It was thought transference. That's what the communication they was using. So then he just, he walked and talked to them. Follow what I'm saying? And he's saying, well, you can't stay in this garden because this garden is for incorporeal entities. That's what was going on, all right? So they had to be put out of the garden. You know where I'm coming from? So when they left the garden, now all the time we're talking about that the death process started right then when they ate from that particular tree. Their death started probably because they went from incorporeal to corporeal being. Corporeal flesh decays. It starts to die right then. Other than that, they could have lived out forever and never died. You know what I'm coming from? So when they had their children, right, when they had their children, and the one child killed the other child, right, the writers of the book were setting up a clue to let you know about the first children that were made and were on the planet for almost 1,000 years. Okay, this is before Adam and Eve thought process even came into existence. That basically was teaching the science of how to clone. That you don't have to just you can get a female from a man DNA as well as a man. That's what the thought process was showing them. Okay, now when Cain slew Abel, I think that's how it went, and he left, and he knew his wife. That was a key. That was a clue, letting you know that somebody was here before Adam and Eve. And if you notice how the book progresses, it gives you the lineage, okay? It gives you the lineage of Cain before Adam and Eve start having more children. Just check it out. It's all there. Before Adam and Eve started having children. See what I'm saying? And so Cain's children would be considered the children of men, and women, okay? And because sometimes you'll be reading it and say the children of God, so the children of man, and so that they were fair, okay? I mean, I'm just saying, there's a lot more story to this, but I don't want to get into the story. I just want to bring about the facts from the story, okay? Because I'm talking to God now. I'm not talking to men and women or believers. See, because believers, they need the story. God don't need the story. God just needs what he needs or she needs to make themselves a better person. Okay? That's what they need. All right? So that's what the first book is trying to tell you as you're going through Genesis. Okay? So the whole thing. You are God. You are capable of designing anything on the planet. To give you another example, men and women are under nature. So when a child is born, it's not a child or a kid or a teenager, none of those names. It's a man and a woman. And they're designed to grow into God. That's how we were designed. God is a designer, okay? You go outside as a man and woman, flap your arms all day long, you will not fly because it's not natural for men and women to fly. But now God is different. We design what we need to overcome nature because we made nature, okay? Just like when you have a child and you have a playpen, you put the playpen there so the child don't hurt themselves, so the child don't kill himself. Follow what I'm saying? So that's what nature is. Nature is designed to keep men and women from hurting themselves to the point that they become extinct. Keep them in line so that they can grow and they can live. All right? So they can grow into becoming God. Now, once you become God, nature, it has no hold over you. It has hold over you as into a instinct. Because you are in a corporeal form. So there's always some natural laws that you have to be mindful of. Follow what I'm saying? I mean, this body can only take so much wear and tear. You get where I'm coming from? So that's a natural law. This body has a lifespan to it based on how you conduct yourself, whether you're eating a Christ-conscious energy or whether you're just dealing off the food that you're making and consuming, all right? There's two types of energy all around you, two types of energy here, okay? Okay, so now we get into the point that we're starting to come into our godhood based on what the Bible is telling us, okay? Now we get into... Now we need to know how we're going to manage ourselves. How are we going to treat ourselves? Are we going to have laws and rules to govern ourselves? What are we going to do here now that we're here? You follow what I'm saying? So when you go into Leviticus, all right, from Genesis, when you go into Leviticus, right, well, let's finish up with Genesis first because we've... Well, let's go on into Leviticus. We need rules. So in Leviticus, there's rules that tell you how much to charge a person when they commit a crime. That's what Leviticus is for. This is where they get all this here stuff from. They didn't just wake up and start charging people $20 for this and $15 for that. You know what I mean? If you commit a crime, you have to bring a certain animal, because animals were the medium of exchange at the time. You have to bring an animal or something like that there. But before we get into that, because we're in the corporeal form, the book gave you a diet that would keep you healthy and away from the doctor. It's Genesis 1:26. It's a diet. I'm giving you herbs and seed bland plants for meat. See, meat is herbs and vegetables and stuff. The vegetarians and the vegans, they're following the Bible. That's what they're doing, okay? Those that are eating flesh, there's a flesh diet in the Bible too. But the flesh diet is based on when people commit crime and they're bringing stuff in. And the priest was eating the stuff that they was bringing in, but this was based on sin offerings. See what I'm saying? So you have to be careful when you're eating this flesh out here, because flesh comes from you breaking the rules. You get where I'm coming from? The rule to eat is Genesis 1:26. That's the rule to eat. So when you break the rules, or when you break the one law of the uncaused cause, I have to get into that because we're getting into law right now. Going to love a little bit. We're getting into law. Now, the one law was that the one law of the universe is the scientific thought process of reap what you sow, right? Well, how can that be science? If you sow two chemicals together, you're going to reap a reaction. You put mathematics on a reaction to control the reaction, okay, of what you're sowing together. That's science all over the universe. That's science, okay? The whole universe works that way, all right? And everything, propulsion, whatever you're doing works that way. A certain amount of pounds per pressure go out, certain amount of pounds of pressure go in. There's a reaction from a certain amount of pounds of pressure that you're pushing out of the tube. It's going to make the tube go a certain, make the tube go at a certain rate of speed. All this is reap what you sow. That's what it is, okay? And that's the law that we're supposed to be following, period. You're not supposed to do anything to anyone or anybody that you do not want done to yourself. That's why we're not supposed to be killing animals and eating them. You're killing animals. You want somebody killing you? You don't want to come from you. Grow. We're supposed to be eating from the plant kingdom, not the animal kingdom, because the animal kingdom is too close to who we are. It's too close to cannibalism. You feel what I'm saying? If you can cut a piece of cow and eat it, you can cut a piece of human flesh, fry it up and eat it. It tastes really good. I don't know what that's going to taste like. I've never eaten human flesh. But I'm just saying, flesh is flesh. You see what I'm saying? Hey, at one time, we ate each other. I'm telling you, at one time, we ate each other. All right? So you have to be mindful of what's going on, mindful of what you're doing. All right? Okay. So now we're going through Genesis. We're coming to a certain point. I'm not going through the whole story. I'm just going through the key points to bring you into a certain thought process so that you know who you are and what the heck is going on. You are God. A God is a designer, okay? The Most High is everything in the universe at the same time. That's what I'm saying. All the energy in the universe functions. It's the Most High. And we're making things out of source energy. Everything you made is energy. Everything that you're making comes from the energy of source. And that's how this whole thing works. And the better we get at manipulating source energy, the better, the more things we'll be able to make, faster, higher, better we'll be able to travel or whatever. And the more our lives will be better. You know what I'm saying? Now, if we function under the law of reap what you sow, nobody on this planet will be hungry. There will be no wars. Nobody will be fighting over territory. You know where I'm coming from? Because we wouldn't have no idols. We wouldn't be doing idolatry. There wouldn't be no idols up there. We're talking about dictators. Wouldn't be no idols up there. We're talking about ministers, preachers. We wouldn't need none of that. Okay? We'll be functioning together as a community, and we've been making up the laws and rules based on what the people want. All right? That's how we're supposed to go. That was the thought process behind the, they call it democracy, but that was the thought process behind the Continental Congress. They wanted to set something up, whereas the so-called rulers, people that be in charge, won't take advantage of the people because they seem to get they get drunk with power, and they want to take advantage of people. It's mine. It belongs to me. You know, so we have to have a system to get away from all that madness, or we're going to do the same thing to the face of this planet that we did to Mars. Okay, well, I don't want to get sidetracked. Yeah, we was on Mars at one time. I don't want to get sidetracked, so let's keep this going. Well, first, let me mention a couple of people here. I'd just like to say, give a shout-out to Theos House Learning Academy. I'd like to give a shout-out to to Save More Electronics. I'd like to give a shout out to Elohim's Five Tribes Society of Love, okay? Now, you can Google that, Elohim Five Tribes Society of Love. You can go to that page, check it out. And we have items on there that you can buy. We have all the flowers and a few other things. We're trying to put more on the site. The site belongs to the society. So anytime you go in and purchase something, that's a big, that's a help for the society, okay? Now, there's a training session going on that we're going to be having from GS9 Partners, okay? Training how to use, how to trade crypto coins and all that stuff, you know? We need to learn that. So there's a training society going about that. I'll bring you more information about that as time goes on, as the days progress, okay? Because I have to change a lot of these commercials around. And remember to check out your naturopathic doctors. We have Dr. Paul and Dr. Bill. You can catch both of them on the internet. That's Dr. Paul. He's selling all kinds of herbs and stuff out there that you can buy. Okay. also, I have a CD on the market. You can purchase that. 911 Jesus Emergency Crisis Comments on Amway. Not Amway. Who else did Amway from? Boy. It's on Amazon. Walmart, you know, CD Baby, you know, just places to buy a CD, okay? it's a gospel CD, and we're talking about Yahshua, okay? Now, also, I'd like to give a shout out to Nikki Love, she's a spiritual advisor, and a shout out to Bubba Will I Am sister. She's on the internet. And she's on YouTube. She just made a nice little CD. She's singing. She says, "I got everything." So if you want to know where "I got everything" is, you need to go on YouTube. You go on YouTube and check her out. You know, "I got everything." That's the name of her name of the video that she got out there. Okay, just type that in and she'll come up. All right. Now, with that being said, I'd like to give a shout out to Mark Scarvey in the UNIA. That's the largest black organization in the history of our country, UNIA. I'd like to give a shout out to the AIA, Brother Sadiq, you know, he's in Africa, him and his wife's in Africa now, they're buying land, selling land, and everything else over there. I still make clothes and stuff too. I'll give up some numbers a little later on. I just jumped on the air today to start this, this series of lectures, okay? And we have a book on the market called Christ Has Come, all right? So you can get that as well. If there's more information about the book, the CD is called 215-758-1703, and that's almost any time, except after 9 o'clock at night. Don't call between 9 or 4 in the morning, please, you know. But any time prior to that, you can give us a call, and we'll address your concerns about help supporting what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is set up a thought process so that all five tribes, black, brown, red, yellow, white, can come together and work out a peaceful situation where one tribe is not trying to dominate the other. Okay? Each tribe has been given 2,000 years to rule. It started 10,000 years ago with the black tribe, then the brown tribe, then the yellow tribe, then the red tribe, then the white tribe. They're 2,000 years just about up. They're fighting tooth and nail, hanging on to their rulership, but it's nothing that they can do about that because this whole thing was designed so that each tribe can come into power and have time to rule. This way, one tribe won't get a chance to wipe the other tribe out because that would be non-productive because we need all five tribes working together to do what we have to do, leaving the planet. All right, we fighting on this little speck of dirt here and all those planets and suns and moons and stars out there, you know what I mean? It's just unconscionable how idiotic that we're starting to become. We need to grow up. We really need to come into our godhood and follow the universal law of reap what you sow. Stop doing things to people that you don't want done to yourself. Just cut it out. Okay. Now, I talked about the Christ consciousness. Now, there's an order in which the Christ consciousness is moving through the years. Okay? There was an oral tradition, right? I'll get this out. There was an oral tradition of the Christ consciousness that comes from the Dogon. From the Dogons, the written tradition of this consciousness comes from Isis and Osiris. Then it moved to Amara. Then from Amara, it went to Upanishad. Right, the Hindu order. Then it went from the Upanishad to Buddha, and then from Buddha it went to Jesus or Yeshua. I wasn't on J's back then. So from Yeshua it went to Muhammad. Time of Muhammad up to now, there has been many people who have been trying to bring the Christ consciousness forward, but in the last days, this consciousness is not going to be taught by individuals, all right? It's going to be something that you just accept because the price has been paid, the sacrifices have been made. You have to go through those long hours of work and trying to become like Christ was. Just accept the energy and start using it. That's all you have to do. You have to accept the energy and start using it. Don't believe that it's there. Know that it's there. Go forth and use the energy. You'd be amazed at what you can accomplish by using the Christ energy, okay? Now that that's been said, I'm just giving the order of how the Christ consciousness has been moving throughout the years, okay? That only took us back 5,000 years, okay? It's actually more than that. It goes back further than that, but we're not going there. We're just going to go back about 5,000 years in order to do it. We started with Dogon and come on with through to Muhammad. All right? Now, let's get back into, now we're going into Leviticus, okay? Because these people, they didn't know how, okay? They didn't know how to govern themselves, all right? They didn't know how to charge for nothing. They didn't do anything. But the Bible was a good way for them to issue fines and things of that nature. That's what the Leviticus is all about. How to charge your brothers and sisters when they do something wrong. If you notice in Leviticus, nobody got their hair cut off. They had to bring in some sheep or a cow or some rabbit. I had to bring in something, you know what I mean, to pay for the crime that they committed. And most of the people that committed the crime, they were committing small crimes. They weren't committing no big crime. They weren't murdering and killing each other in the street, you know, things of that nature, you know. But they did commit small sins going against the reap what you sow law, see. And if you check all these so-called commandments that you've been given, they come from the universal law of reap what you sow. Don't kill your brother. You don't want nobody to kill you. Don't take your brother's wife. You don't want nobody to take your wife. It's just reap what you sow. That's what everything is based on. And if we come back to that reality, life would be better. Now, the first gods of the Bible, these men and women, I'm telling you, men and women, that's what the book gave you, that key. That's why you had different rules, different things that was going on during different times in the Bible, right? Some of the stuff that they were doing was just unconscionable because they had the power. That's a whole other story. We ain't got that. That would be in Deuteronomy. We ain't going there right now. But I'm just telling you, with the Christ consciousness coming into full bloom, some of the things that we were doing in the Bible was just unconscionable. We just trying to get away from that kind of stuff today. We're not going to do those things today that we used to do, especially when it comes down to slavery, buying and selling people and all that stuff. But that's a whole nother lecture. We ain't got there yet. But that's just what was on my mind, you know? Now, when Leviticus now, the priest did something, they would have to pay, they would have to pay a high price. They'd have to bring out a cow, you know? A cow is very expensive. Now, to buy a whole cow today, very few people can buy a whole cow today. That's how expensive a cow was today and a cow was back then. So they had to pay a high price when they committed the crime because they're supposed to be the keepers of the law. What is the law? You reap what you sow. Don't do to somebody that you don't want done to yourself. The law. Follow what I'm saying? And if you do whatever you do to them, it's coming back. Might not come back today, but trust me, it's going to come back. That's how everything was designed. Everything was designed like that for that, okay? Now, like I said, we're going to go through the Bible. We're going to go through book by book. There's 66 books in here, and each book was set up for a reason. And we're going to go through some of the things in the books that we should do, some of the things in the books that we shouldn't do, talking about the following the Most High's law. When I say the Most High, I'm talking about the uncaused cause. I'm talking about the uncaused cause, that which caused everything to exist, but nothing caused it to exist. That's what I'm talking about, okay? And we can't go further than that. There's no way we can go further than that. I mean, I've asked to travel. I've been out. I'm floating around out there, but you can't go before things started. This is just, I can't say it's not possible, because once you start getting into the stuff of atomics, a lot of things are possible that today that we couldn't do yesterday, okay? So I have to remind myself who we are. We are the greatest designers. We were designed to be the greatest designers in the universe. So we can design things that's beyond your imagination, I'm telling you. You follow what I'm saying? And a lot of times we have to keep that imagination in check because of the way we can design things, you know? If you look at the going to these sex shops and the stuff that they're designing in there, it's like unbelievable, you know? Whatever you can think of, it's in there. You can go buy it. You follow what I'm saying? So that's another thing, too. But right now, I got about 10 minutes left. I like to talk about this homosexual phenomenon that's going on all over the planet. See? Are you against the LGBTQ, whatever they call themselves? I'm against anything that blocks the procreation of life. I'm against that. Anything that blocks that, I'm against that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just letting you know now. Because you're supposed to want for your brother and your sister what you want for yourself. And if you want everybody to engage in a homosexual lifestyle, what happens to us? We cease to exist. The babies are what that's for. It's not... Sure, you get a lot of pleasure out of it because it was designed to make you want to keep making them babies. That's why it's so good when you start doing it. You understand what I'm saying? But according to read what you sow, the law, okay, you're not supposed to love a man as a woman, and you're not supposed to love a woman as a man, okay? That's not how it's supposed to work. All right. Now, we can get into the science of it if you want, but actual fact of the whole thing is you reap what you sow. If you're sowing life juices in a waste track, what are you going to reap? The only thing you're reaping is a pleasure. That's not what it was designed for. It was designed to give you pleasure. Yeah, okay. Yes, it was. It's designed to feel good. In fact, it was designed to feel great. If they weren't coming from, that's because the intention was to keep you making children. That was the intention, okay? So when you break, when you get into that lifestyle at a young age, right, they say it's death to you. It's death to you because once you die, that's it. There's no children. There's no extension of you. You're gone. We don't want you to die because actually most of the people that's engaged in that type of activity, there's some pretty good, they've some pretty pretty strong character, I'm telling you, you know? And for you not to leave a child behind so that the next generation can enjoy somebody like you, that's a little selfish. You see what I'm saying? That's a little selfish. And we don't want you to die off, you know? Well, I can adopt. Adopting is fine, but that ain't you. That's somebody else's achievement. That's somebody else's seed. That's somebody else's life juices. That's somebody else's character. That's somebody else's everything that you're raising. It ain't yours. We need extensions of you. That's what I'm talking about, you know? Well, I just feel as though they got all kinds of excuses out there. I mean, you listen to all kinds of excuses, but the fact, see, like I'm saying, I'm not talking to men and women. See, men and women, nature got them. They can't rise above nature, men and women. But when you become a God, you can rise above anything, anything. And you have to rise above those type of feelings so that you can make them babies, man. We need the babies, okay? It's just that simple. It ain't that we mad at you. We need the babies. You know, who you think gonna get us out of this mess that we in? Huh? Where do you think the problem solvers are gonna come from? The problem solvers are gonna come from the children. And if you ain't making no babies out there, then we got a problem. And for all of you who are having abortions and your life is not threatened, that's a big mistake. You got to find a way to bring that baby to term. If you don't want the child, get a child up. But don't kill the child. Find a way to bring the child to term, okay? If your life is threatened and you're worried about dying, if you had a baby, okay, fine. All right? It becomes you or the child, okay? All right, so you say, I can always have another child. That's all I'm saying. But the most precious thing on the planet is the children. They're the ones that are going to be the problem solvers of the future. And if they're not here, we don't have no future. I'm telling you straight up. You reap what you sow. And if you ain't sowing no babies, that's all I'm saying. Your existence is going to be nothing. You're not going to have an existence. Once you die, that's it. And I don't think it's fair to us for you not to have no children. I don't know about you, but it's not fair to us. We need children of your character playing without children, when our children grow up. You follow what I'm saying? It takes a lot of character to go out of character like that. I'm just telling you, most people don't think about it like that. But it takes a lot of strength to say, hey, look, man, I don't want no females. I just want a guy. You know what I mean? Knowing that you can't make no babies, knowing that you're going against how you designed this thing. You and your ancestors designed all this here. You designed how you're going to be here. You follow what I'm saying? When you came as an incorporeal being, we talked about earlier, into this dimension, it was up to you to design how the thing was going to go. And that's what you did. Okay? And everything that you design is like that, right? Some things can have a baby without the other sex, okay? Actually, the woman can have a baby with a fixed spirit because she represents both sexes. She's the only one who can carry the baby to term. Man can't carry the baby. Man can't carry the baby. But it's important that we have those children. That's the problem with homosexuality. We need the damn babies, man. I'm telling you. I'm not mad at you because what you want to put your life juices in? You want to put your life juices on a wall. It's up to you. I'm mad because we need the children right now. We need those babies to get us out of this mess so that we can train them up, get them situated so they can get us out of this mess that we're in, okay? So that's my problem. That's why I'm mad. I'm mad because we need the babies. I'm not mad because as a God, you decide you want to do something ungodly. That's on you. That's what I'm saying, because you are a God. You have a choice. You can do whatever you want to do. But we do need the babies. You have to think about the big picture. Give us some children. I ain't talking about, oh, well, if you like adopting, okay. You can adopt a child. After you have a child, if you want to adopt a child, then adopt one. But don't adopt a child and you ain't made no babies yet. That's non-productive, okay? That's not what this is all about, okay? I didn't mean to take that much time. I only took about 7 minutes talking about our homosexuality. But that's what they mean when they say if you commit those type of acts, you will die. That's what they're talking about. You will not have offspring. You will not have an extension of yourself. That's not good for you and definitely not good for us because we need your kid. You know what I mean? We need those babies. That's what I'm talking about, okay? Now, the next time we're going to go further into Leviticus, we're talking about the judicial system. That's what we're talking about. How to set up the rules and the regulation. You know, that's what the next book is talking about, you know? How to govern yourselves. Okay? What the charge? Don't be killing people because they have a little crime. You know what I mean? That's not what it's all about. But it does say doing to others as you have them doing to you. Now, if you go out here and shoot somebody, murder somebody, well, you know, you reap what you sow, dog. You know what I'm saying? So be mindful of what you're doing. Be mindful of what you want coming back to you. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? I've only got about 2 minutes left, so I'd like to do my assertion. I have walked the path, been honest and good today, and I eagerly embrace all that I have done today to come back to me. I have reaped what I have. I'm going to reap what I have sown today. Okay. So let it be written. So let it be done. Now remember, Elohim Five Child Society of Love. That's the website. Go to it. Check it out. Learn a few things. And we have a lot of episodes here on Block Talk Radio. You can come back and check us out later on, okay? It's good. Block Talk Radio got a lot going on, all right? Now, so we'll be here from 8 to 9, so just give us a call. If we're not here, just keep checking in. We will be here. And we got over 300 episodes that you can go in and listen to, okay? This is your brother Elohim saying, much love, and we will talk to you at another time, okay?